Hey everyone, I'm Madonna and this is David, Madonna Guy, D David Shill, naturopath and counselor extraordinaire. So I thought we would talk about the
Oh,
gut
hey,
brain.
I'm treating a skin cancer, so it's a bit like that.
Yeah, so
Won't be for long, a couple of weeks.
ignore that little doodad and and then we'll naturopathically treat it afterwards, so
No self-esteem issues here.
No, luckily how we look does not impact on the way we project ourselves out there to the world at all.
No,
No, it has
amazing.
no impact whatsoever. Like it wouldn't give you anxiety, for example.
No, and it wouldn't make me worry about anything.
Oh, we've all been through to that, haven't we? I was at a speech contest last night, and three of them were inspirational speeches, and one of them was about she sort of went into the old AI. There was so much AI talk last night, our little
Oh,
AI
really?
bots, our little Bing
Well, it is
co-pilots
happening.
and things like that. And a few of them actually talked about using that to give them like points for their speeches and all sorts of things. And one of the things that was one of the ladies said was that the reason we get anxiety is because we're worried about how we're being judged out there in the world. And as a kinesiologist, one of the little areas that I always think of in my nerdy leap brain, the brain integration stuff that I do, is the anterior cingulate gyrus. Because the anterior cingulate gyrus, which I think is in the midbrain, but that could be a lie, it basically is one of the ones that has up to seven generations of memory of how we cope under stress in survival situations out there in the world. So it's what our brain says to ourselves when we are in a social environment and how we react in that social environment when we're about to get eaten by the tiger. So do we shut down? Are we that,
Like
freaking all?
when we're triggered.
So when we're triggered, how do we put ourselves out there socially? And it's really interesting because I sort of love that about I love that about the I love that about the brain. Sorry, I'll turn my phone off. Oops. So that we can, it there's really specific parts of the brain like the anterior cingulate. It's so involved with anxiety socially. So how many people have social phobias, social anxiety? They know that they can't go into a situation. I remember about, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, I was having an argument with a family member, and all I wanted to do was hit the red anytime he was in the room anywhere near me. Hit the red, you know what I mean?
Like the nose.
The red wine.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, as long as I had plenty of alcohol in me, when I was like 20, 30, 40, I was fine. But,
20, 30, 40 sounds like what went on for a few
it certainly did.
years.
Could potentially still be happening.
Oh.
But no, it's but it is interesting, isn't it? What do we do in those? So some people just stay at home and they never leave. But what ends up happening is, from a naturopathic perspective, the fun thing about it is that there's all these other connections going on inside our bodies. So when I'm checking for supplements, for example, quite often you do have to work on the gut because there's that huge nexus, that gut-brain connection that's really involved in social anxiety.
Well,
So the less resilient our gut is, the less resilient our brain is.
also it can be a deficiency in some parts where we're not getting the right food or neuroreceptors or hormones working.
Absolutely. And you can't make hormones without, fats and proteins. You can't make neurotransmitters without a whole range of vitamins, minerals, hormones, fats.
A very varied diet, actually.
Yeah, definitely. And I was listening to a lady yesterday. This was sort of cool because she's been in the autism space for about 40 years. So, she kept saying in this podcast, she's really old. It's not publicly available, so I can't point you towards it. But what she was saying was that back in 1985, the autism numbers were 4 per 100,000. That was the numbers out there. Now, anyone who doesn't believe that there's a shift in it, they just say that we're doing better testing, which is all BS.
Well,
No,
that's
it's total BS. Don't even.
no, but that's also.
No, it's total BS. There was, when we were at school, there was not the kids walking around with the helmets, not the kids walking. It did not happen. It did not happen. It is not the same as what
No,
it is today.
I'm not disagreeing. I think that the tech, the actually the understanding, because from because that's worked out in psychology, and the understanding of what it is has improved as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, for example, I know a lot of adults who definitely would have been diagnosed with ADHD
Not
when
the
they were
same.
kids.
It's not the same. It's not the same as having someone who can live an entire life and everyone goes, oh, they must be on the spectrum. Because that is what people say to normalize it. That is how they're
But
normalizing
I
it.
agree with you as well, because there's obviously because well, both autism and ADHD have a toxic component in the first generation, and toxins are increasing, obviously. So
Yeah.
that makes sense.
So what she
And
ended up.
even though we won't talk about what toxins might be, because I can speculate about what it is, but we're not talking about that necessarily. But there's an increase in toxins in everything from the vaccine schedule to the way that we're not regulating our food properly, right?
Pesticides, yeah, refined
And we
foods.
haven't even got into pesticides yet.
Yeah.
So it's like there are lots, so I agree with you, there's a lot of reasons that it might be increasing
Yeah.
if toxicity is the reason for the first generation
Yeah.
or exacerbating a second generation.
Yeah. Well, and this is the thing she was talking about. I remember being at an AAAA seminar about 10, 15 years ago, which was autism, anxiety, ADHD, and asthma, and the similarities with all of those. And one of the biggest things that's a similarity is the toxicity component. Absolutely. Get the gut-brain connection, the microbiome that we have actually inherited from our parents. So now that we've been having big pharma in control of health since 1913, we've got like 113 years of toxins building up in people's bodies, going messing with the microbiome, going through to the next children. And one of the things that's been proven, and this is quite well proven, is that strep, and this is really good for people to know,
What's strep?
strep, so streptococcus. So there's a
Is that like
strain
a
of,
meningococcal?
well, it's a different bacteria. So
Same.
meningococcal is a different one. Staph is a different one. Strep is a very specific one. So a lot of people get strep nose, strep throat, So strep, I always say to my clients, is here to here. When we're getting the yellowy, blistery things, that's usually staph. So staphylococcus. One of my friends has just spent 12 weeks on nasty antibiotics for staph. And the problem is every time you take the
Did it get rid of it
antibiotics,
anyway? Because often it doesn't affect.
no. Because both of these, staph and strep, they've been found, they did a study, this is again 10, 15 years ago, but they did brain studies after children had died with autism. So they did slices of the brain and they found that in the basal ganglia, which is in the rear of the brain, in every case, and it was only a small study. There's not that many kids who die before 20 years old who happen to be autistic, who happen to have a family who wants them to be part of the study. But what they found is that in every single case in those kids, and I just remember being told it was staph or strep. So staphylococcus or streptococcus was in every single one of those kids' brains. Now, at the time, we were being told that the blood-brain barrier protected us from bacteria. But what they don't tell us is when you have a vaccine, the mercury and the aluminium in there weaken the blood-brain barrier. So it's basically equivalent to a concussion or equivalent to a brain injury. And that allows the toxins to go through and any toxin in our body. So anything that's traveling around our body at that time can cross the blood-brain barrier. And the basal ganglia is about, sorry, I get really passionate about this. Because I've been fighting with people about autism for 30 years, because I did my studies on vaccines. I did my thesis on vaccines 30 years ago. So it's been a long, long, long
A
road,
long road.
a long, long road. So, when we get to that sort of spot where, so I've been telling people forever, and I had an autistic kid in last week, and it wasn't until afterwards that I thought, shit, did he have staph and strep in his bioresonance? Sure enough, both of them were in there. And parents, when they think about it, they can nearly always see where their beautiful little healthy, gorgeous human being changed into, being non-verbal or having other issues. But that, of course, can lead to all sorts of other neurodiverse issues as
Well,
well.
there's a couple of things that another thing they're finding is that people with those symptoms, childhood trauma or neglect can produce the same symptoms, just like a head injury can, right? Because what it is, it's a disabling of the prefrontal cortex. And so whatever the thing that causes autism and ADHD, which seem to be quite similar, the toxic effect. So that's one cause, but also another cause is that there's an increase in or a decrease. There's something going on in families and parenting that is could be causing the similar symptoms,
Right.
right? And because there's like the divorce rate skyrocketed,
Yeah.
and that's an
The
ACE score.
decimation of the family. Yep.
And so there's all of these things also. And so because my counselling supervisor, she's an autism expert, and she says you should look at the childhood situation to see if there was any stress in their early development, because that can cause similar symptoms.
Yeah, do you remember me talking to you about that study they did with the mice and the there's layers of the gut, so there's like six layers of the intestinal wall, and one of the layers is the neurological layer, and it's about three or four layers down. So it's embedded within the gut, and it's that layer that when they were looking at all sorts of toxins with these little mice, their little small
Oh,
intestines,
right, just as I thought.
they were
Okay,
looking at different toxins. And by the time it was causing when they did the slices of the little small intestines, they found the neurological layer was the layer that, lit up like a Christmas tree as being, really.
you think a decline in breastfeeding?
Oh, it will absolutely. Well, the problem is, again.
I never thought of that, but it's like breastfeeding is so healthy, but
Well, is it? The problem is that we've all got so many carcinogenic and toxins in our body. If women don't do detoxing before they have their baby these days, which in my day that was just normal. Most people would go to the naturopath and spend, 6, 12, 24 months detoxing before. That was before the last 5 years.
well, we're
It
not
was
going to have to
before
worry
it's as
about that because
toxic.
the fertility rate's gone down
Oh,
so
it's
much.
gone down so
No,
much.
but
So
that's whether it's fertility, but people are actually choosing not to have kids.
yeah, but that's
Like a
because of
young
all the
generation.
climate rubbish,
But
So people will have
well,
been
that's one
taught that the
that's
world's shutting down in 15
but the
years.
studies are saying that they're doing it because of the expense, right? And so it's like because I look into this because it's like what's going on here? And so the young because we talked about in our supervision, and kids are deciding not to have kids. They're not even trying. They're just like, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
And I don't remember that happening before in my lifetime.
Well, one of the theories by one of the podcasters that I listen to a fair bit is that when the government is not making your country a positive, happy place, why would people want to bring children into the world? So a
It's
lot of
also
it.
it's an international thing.
Oh,
Like population
absolutely.
rates are declining. They're
Absolutely.
going,
Yeah.
so many countries, they're going to end up with 4 times as many old people as their young
Well,
people that
Elon
they
Musk
tax.
said one of the things you can do is check out the amount of nappies for babies and nappies for adults, which is a horrible thing, but it's one
That's
of the,
funny.
yeah. And at the moment, most Western countries are creating more nappies for the elderly,
Well,
which means
they've gone
there's
to the
more.
supermarket shelf, so.
No, that's because the government pays for them all because they're so embarrassed they've destroyed these people's health. But it's all part of the NDIS. The government's paying huge amounts to Big Pharma to create these nappy industries, but it also is the destruction of people's self-worth, self-esteem in aged care homes. I know people who have had people in aged care, and they write the date on of the date they change the nappies, and family members will turn up 2, 3, 4 days later and they haven't had their nappy changed.
Really?
It's evil. It's evil. Yuck. Ugh. No, not, no. Never going to aged care. Never, never, never. Yeah, no, that definitely needs to. It's all rubbish. But okay, there might be better diagnostics, but I think that's all bullshit. Personally, I think that's all bullshit. I think that it's changed because our brains are getting more and more toxic. I think the type of autism is getting more and more huge. We did not have these kids walking around with these, punching themselves and kicking themselves, or it was like 1 in 500. Or it was 1 in 10,000, actually.
No,
In the
it's
late 1980s, it was 1 in 10,000.
and it is obvious because my wife's a primary school teacher,
Yeah.
and the kids who are coming through the last, especially the COVID kids, there's a lot more dysregulated kids and
Yeah.
a higher percentage, and a lot more kids with what do you call when you get assisted care in the classroom.
Yeah. Yeah. So people need to sort of really think about the gut microbiome as an important part of the whole equation. Because if we've got unregulated staph and strep going on in the body, particularly strep, then you've got to clean out the microbiome. Because by having too much strep in the body, that leads to things like the postnasal drip. It can lead to sinus snoring, that sort of thing.
So
It can.
what are easy ways to manage that, do you
There's no
think?
easy way. It's a long-term process because guess what feeds it? white flour, white sugar, high fructose corn syrup, carbohydrates.
Okay, so we should ban all fun food.
Well, Bobby Kennedy's on his way.
No.
Just joking. That was on a podcast today. Someone was offering one of his guests. It was Sean Ryan, anyway, was offering someone. He said, "Oh, these are delicious." And the other guy said, "Well, you better get it quick before Bobby Kennedy bans it."
Well, what's funny is that often people are overeating because of some traumatic thing in their body.
Yeah, and then it's
Like,
making
I
everything worse.
no, but just ironically, there's that need for sugar because of, like I was saying earlier, the way that communities used to be more empathetic, more social, more thing, that's on the decline.
Yeah.
And so social empathy has been on the decline for generations, and that's going into family systems.
Yeah.
Right, so there's, and so that's something that's also there, that the general nurturing way that people used to do things, it's on, statistically on the
Yeah.
decline.
Well, even on the weekend, it was really interesting with Cyclone Alfie, which never actually existed. It was downgraded to a non-cyclone, but everyone's still calling him a cyclone. It was people are getting angry that people didn't stay in their lockdown. So people were using the term lockdown. People were getting angry that people were leaving their house
Why?
because they've been told by mainstream media to
On
stay in
Friday
their
and
house.
Saturday, they did say that actually. I remember
Well, I
that.
didn't listen to it.
I heard it on the radio when I was driving.
Yeah, well, I wasn't listening to any of that sort of rubbish. I'm like, no, you can't make me. It's my responsibility to walk out there in the world. If I get hit by a bloody bit of rock or roof hitting me in the head, that's because I'm an idiot. Leave me alone. No, don't use debt. But they're
Especially on
using the word
Thursday and Friday.
lockdown, and this is what they're trying to do worldwide, is create the ability to do climate lockdowns. They've already done it in Spain. They've already done it in several places around the world where they're normalizing, rain as being something dangerous so that you can get locked down. So, and during COVID, the World Economic Forum talked about it a fair bit. So I think the World Economic Forum has a huge amount of responsibility for how anxious people are now.
They're on the way out.
Hope so. Go Trump. Yeah, so no, I didn't say that. But, I just hope they are. I hope people are waking up to it and sort of going, right, this is pretty interesting.
Well,
But from the anxiety perspective, so autism's a huge topic. We need to get that nutrition in there. Our brain needs omegas. Our mitochondria needs magnesium. We need to get some good solid supplements in there. Even a really good methylated B can do massively good things for the body. Because if the brain is anxious, it's not getting rid of the glutamate. So glutamate is the excitatory hormone that keeps us really active in our brains, so we can't let go of things.
okay.
So things like magnesium and things help to calm down that brain.
Well, they come down the glutamate.
Yeah, so the glutamate, so things like the Carmex, for example, which is that combination of magnesium, potassium, taurine, activated Bs, so it calms glutamate in the brain.
Because glutamate's also a good energy thing
Yeah,
when you've got
it's
the right amount.
fine, but not when it's giving you anxiety. But the other thing about anxiety is we've got to look at our diet because, again, if our body is eating something that we are not coping with, our liver can swell by 20%.
Right.
So if your liver, which is already like 2 kilos, if it swells by 20%, like how close is your heart to your liver? They're right next door to each other. So if your liver swells, what happens to your heart?
Oh, they'll be able to have a nice couple.
Well, it starts to pump.
Yeah.
So your heart starts to pump because there's something pushing on it. It's going, what the hell's going on? So the heart starts to pump, so people get anxiety.
The other problem with anxiety is mild paranoia, right? So it's, and you know what they say, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean people aren't out to get you.
True.
No, but the other problem with anxiety is that it's a little bit paranoid. So if
Right.
you're a parent, you're kind of passing on that to your kids. You're teaching them this something scary, but it's not.
Yeah.
Same as
Yeah.
if you've got depression and you don't treat with it, you can be like really negative, even though life's not so negative when you're a parent.
Yeah.
And you want to at least work in yourself that, okay, what I'm thinking and saying mightn't be
Yeah.
correct.
And when people are on anti-anxiety drugs, they think they really can't take any supplements because that's what doctors want people to believe, that the only way is drugs and, otherwise get out and don't come back. But there are lots of herbs that, are really
Well, why
beneficial.
wouldn't anyone take both together if possible?
Yeah.
So if you have to go for the medical thing, either because of cost or convenience or something,
Yeah.
because I've always taken herbal medicine with meds, because for a start you want to detox them, and then you want extra support as well, because they do one thing, but you can get things that are
And
improving.
did you know that's why St. John's Wort is a particular one that people pick on in relation to being on antidepressants?
Well, that's
Because
because the standard idea, if you look on the internet for depression, is that, and it's a dumb, and it's not a very smart thing, because a lot of people react badly to it, right?
to what?
St. John's Wort.
I've never had anyone
Oh,
have me.
haven't you?
No,
Oh, some people do.
no. Well, I think
Oh,
that's
what were you
all.
going to
No,
say?
I was going to say that the reason is that it actually helps with phase two liver detoxification. So what that means is that if someone's on drugs like antidepressants, antipsychotics,
Oh, it's good for
anti-anxiety,
them. Oh,
it
right.
helps your body detoxify it
Oh,
faster.
that's interesting.
So therefore, the drug will have a shorter half-life.
Right.
So it actually helps to get rid of the residue of the drug.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
Same with grapefruit. Grapefruit is often listed as one of those things you're not allowed to have when you're on a lot of drugs. And
Well, you can't
again,
grapefruit on all blood thinners, you can't take.
well,
Just saying.
GY, GY, because it's a good blood thinner. So therefore, if you took something that might be better than the drug, you might choose to do the thing that's better than the drug. We can't have that. That would be against the rules.
Right. Same with
Everyone must
toothache.
take drugs. We love our drugs. Drugs are awesome. Things like herbs, like
Well, things like turmeric, that's a good example.
it's
Blood
in,
thinner, really good for depression.
and it also supports thousands of genes. We've got 23,000 genes in the body, and
Turmeric's amazing, really.
yeah, the activated curcuminoids are
Because it gets rid
incredible.
of pain. They use it in pain relief for joint pain. Plus
Great for
also
inflammation of the brain.
inflammation, when they mix it with saffron, really good. What do you call that? Antidepressant?
Yeah,
Sure, as a
absolutely.
pepper.
And herbs like withania and rhodiola and passion flower and kava and valerian, there's so many good ones. There's another one called Californian poppy, same family as opium. So Californian poppy, it's a really nice chillax. One of my
Well,
favorite
if you
things
can't do
from
exercise, because exercise releases your natural cannabinoids and the opioids.
PEA. So there's a substance called PEA, which stands for
Also shortening, it's that Palmer.
palmitoylethylamide. Yeah, I know how to say that. But there's
Told me
it's in the
so.
cannabinoid family, and it's good for pain, anti-inflammatory, but it's good for the nervous system, so it's a really nice thing when people have got a combination of things going
Oh,
on.
right, so pain relief, anti-inflammatory,
Yeah, but
and.
it's not a cannabinoid, so it's not pot, but it's in the cannabinoid family, so it sort of works on some of those
But
receptors.
endorphins also, they more often release opioids. But getting to the cannabinoids is a bit harder with exercise.
Exercise is awesome.
But pain, exercise is pain relief.
Yes. Unless you're in pain.
Okay.
Anyway, I've got to go.
Awesome.
That was a bit all over the shop. I hope that was useful. Autism, anxiety, big topics. We'll just keep on nutting away at them. Okay, have a good one,
Well,
everyone.
interesting. Nice one, Madonna.
Okay,
Cheers,
bye.
everyone.